Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 2 of our study of the book of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1st Peter 4, 12 through 19. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you would like more resources on this Bible study or others that we've done, go to 10weekbible.com. That's the number 10, weekbible.com. We got links to paperback books for personal or group study. We've got links to previous podcast series. We've also got all of the archives. We've also got links to the YouTube channel where I go into detail on different passages in a little bit different format if you like that. So with that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. All right, let's pause right there, because what Peter is saying in this chapter, yesterday we talked about the first part where basically Peter's saying, stay away from sin, run away from sin, be sober-minded and alert so that you can pray and keep sin out of your life. And so he kind of juxtaposed Christians to the thought process of pagans, which we talked about at length yesterday, how, you know, if you don't believe there's an eternity or a God or anything like that, you might as well go ahead and live however the heck you want. Peter's saying that's a bad idea, but that's the logical, very, very logical thought process of paganism, or atheism, we could call. I mean, the new atheism is really just a rehashing of paganism. Just really live however you want and make whatever God you want your God. And that's really what atheism is you live how you want, and whatever you want to esteem as ruling over your life, that's, you get to name it. And there's really no difference between atheism and paganism in that way. And so Peter's saying, you know, don't do that. flee from that, run away from that. But that's their thought process here. And so not only as believers are we going to, for a very real purpose, flee from sin, because there's an eternity to be had, and it matters that we flee from sin. It really, really matters that we flee from sin. Not only that, those who are not engaging in sin, even though they've come to the very logical conclusion that, hey, if there's no eternity, I mean, that's not the logical conclusion. If they say in their mind that there's no eternity, nothing matters, the logical conclusion is, let's give ourselves over to every terrible thing that we want to. And what happens is when they do that and they see you not doing it, there is still a reality to sin and righteousness, and it burns them. Everyone who's engaging in sin, even if they have somehow deluded themselves into thinking that it's okay, it's acceptable, there is a searing of their conscience. The Holy Spirit is still alive and active as the restrainer in our world today. We're told by Paul and Revelation that one day that restrainer will be taken away and people will give themselves over to everything, including especially murder, because that restrainer is no longer there. Until the restrainer is taken away, the Holy Spirit is still acting on people. And even though they've justified in their minds that, hey, debauchery and lust and drunkenness and orgies and all these things, even if they justify that they're okay, their conscience is still seared when they see people not doing them, because they know they're wrong. Innately, we know those things are wrong. We feel it in our body, in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls, whatever you want to call you, you feel it. When you sin, you know it. And there's no way around that. no amount of cognitive dissonance, as much as it may help you get through the day, you can't get away from the feelings of guilt and shame when you walk into sin. It's innate. And so when the pagans, when the people engaging that, when they see these few people, and one of the ways that pagans and really anyone, this is human nature, justify their existence when they're doing wrong things, is that you surround yourself with people doing the same wrongs as you, so it feels normal. But when someone else comes around and they screw up your normal, and they remind you that, oh yeah, we're doing wrong here, that unleashes a whole mess of hellfire. It really does. And when I say hellfire, I mean, like, there's demons involved in this. There's anger. There it's bad. And so Peter's saying, listen, don't be surprised by this fiery ordeal as if it's something strange, because it's very normal. You just living your Christian life, you don't even have to like go preaching necessarily. You don't have to be, you know, a witnessing Bible thumper. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We need those people. We really do. But you don't even have to do that. If you live differently, if you live in this holy fashion where you are set apart and it's obvious, just in your living, you're going to go poking at hornet's nests. And those hornet's nests, and you never know where they're going to come from, but they will arise and they will attack you with a demonic vengeance just by you living for the Lord. So do not be surprised when it happens. Be thankful when it doesn't. Be thankful when you just get to live out your life normally. But live for Christ, number one. Live free of sin. And when you sin, run back to Him as quickly as you can and repent. And be thankful for every moment that when you're doing that, the enemy is leaving you alone. But if you do that, you will not live a life, an entire lifespan, where the enemy does leave you alone. He will come after you. And he almost always comes after you through people. And so don't be shocked when it happens. Verse 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. 15. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. If it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And verse 18, if it is harder for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. What Peter is saying is people who do wrong will suffer too. Don't be one of them. Don't the meme or whatever is like, you know, Jim is doing wrong. Don't be like Jim. Be the Christian. Peter's encouraging us. Listen, people are going to suffer. People are going to suffer under the weight of their sin, or they're very likely to suffer by the people who are sinning who are going to come against you if you are not sinning. Be that guy. Be proud of suffering for the sake of Jesus. There is actually eternal rewards for that. If you suffer because you're doing wrong, you know, he's like, don't suffer like a murderer or a thief or even a meddler, just someone who's like gets in the middle of stuff and he just creates problems for themselves that they don't even need to bring on themselves. Like, don't be like those people, because they're going to suffer. Those people suffer under their consciences, over the weight of their decisions and the backlash. I mean, there is suffering that goes on for every decision. But if you're going to suffer for your decisions, suffer for Christ, because it matters forever. It really does. If you're going to endure suffering in this life, don't endure the kind that is self-inflicted. Endure the kind that is brought on by people who hate the Jesus they see in you. And they will hate the Jesus they see in you. They absolutely will. Because the Jesus they see in you convicts them of sin. And that is what brings out demonic rage. When people are convicted of sin, they will kill, literally. They will kill to alleviate that conviction. Many people, I don't know if it's most, but many people would rather murder to alleviate that conviction than give into it in humility. And that is why Jesus descending into hell and appearing before people does not necessarily make them all Christians. Because when he was on the earth, his presence did not make the Pharisees follow him. We're told again, when he appears for 1,000 years, there will still be people who will want to rebel against him and try to kill him. And if they wanted to try and kill Jesus, they will want to try and kill you for the Jesus they see in you. And right now, in large part, the only thing that would prevent people from killing you is that there are laws against it. And we've seen throughout history, when those laws are laxed, people kill by the millions. When that restrainer, in any form that the restraint takes, is lifted, people kill. And most often it's because of the Jesus that they see in you. They will kill to alleviate their conscience. They will kill. I mean, you know, you look at ethnic cleansings and things like that. It's like if we just get rid of all of them, we don't have to look at them anymore. We don't have to feel bad that we should be living with them. That's at the root of every ethnic cleansing throughout history. If we can just get rid of them, we won't have to see them anymore. We don't have to think about them. We won't have to pretend like we should be getting along with them, which we know we should. And it's causing us guilt that we choose not to get along with them. That's the heart of all of that. People will kill to alleviate that conviction. So when you suffer that, suffer for the Lord. Truly. Give yourself over to living for him so that you won't suffer what everyone else suffers. You will suffer something that matters for eternity. Because if you suffer, you know, if you get arrested and you go to prison for stealing, you know, that's just on you. That's just what you get. But Jesus said, I will remember even a cup of cold water that you give to someone in my name. How much more? And the implication when he said that is, how much more when you go through difficult things, or when you do big things, how much more will I remember that for all eternity? So this really matters. Us following Jesus and rejecting sin and repenting and running back to him when we do fall into sin as quickly as we can, that matters. It's huge. It will change our lives now, and it will change our eternity. That's all the time we have for today. We've come to the end of this passage. We'll jump into chapter 5 starting tomorrow. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.